Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Tonight, we've got 2 hours of very energizing guests. First, Dr. Mary Medeiros, a 30-year veteran in network television at NBC, ABC, and CBS, winning 3 Emmy Awards. Now, authoring a new book titled Spirit Therapy. Mary Medeiros, an Akashic Record reader, providing clients with tools for life and a sacred space for clarity from the divine realm. Then, in hour number 2, we'll learn about the healing power of dogs from distinguished professional trainer Heather Lee Strom, who now has over 30 years in helping to heal the human body through our canine friends. A fascinating discussion. We're not taking phone calls tonight, so enjoy the next 2 hours of this special 2-part series of interviews. Now, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I have a wonderful guest here today. Mary Medeiros is here, and she has a fascinating story to tell us. She is an Akashic Records practitioner. She is at the advanced level, and boy, has she got some information for you. Mary, welcome to the show. It's great to see you today. What's in the Akashic? Tell us a little bit about yourself today.
Okay, thank you for having me. Yeah, I always love the opportunity to share. I like to call it the juice of this amazing resource that we all have that I've been honored to have tapped into and to be working in. It's very exciting and it's life-changing in a really good way. Actually, it changes our lives in a way that is more of who we are. I'll just say that. So in a nutshell, I began my career working in television and at the television networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, and I worked my way up to director, television director. And then I was working on soap operas on the East and West Coast.
Wow.
And so I had a long career of many years doing that, news and sports and soap operas. And then it began to shift. I'll just say that what started to happen was now I know a gift, which was that the soaps began to go off the air. As many of your viewers and listeners will know, when I began, there were 15 soap operas and there are now only 4. And I began around 1980 when I started working anyway, in that arena. Anyway, so as they were dwindling and going off the air, I was rethinking my life, I would say, and pondering, wondering, what do I do? And I certainly could have, as a director, moved into nighttime television, things like that. But then a really remarkable thing happened. I was brought to the awareness of the Akashic Records through a book that was actually sitting on a shelf above my head in a metaphysical bookstore. I was always following metaphysical things. I'll say that, you know, the Eckhart Tolles and the usual suspects in metaphysical and spiritual world, in our world. And so, yeah, there I was, and there was this book, and it was How to Read Your Akashic Records. Now, I had also, before that point, had a psychic reading with a wonderful woman out here in California, and she saw a being over my shoulder and said, there's this dude, she called him a dude, over your shoulder, and he oversees your Akashic Records. And I asked her, what are those? I didn't know. And she said, I don't know, but that's what he says he does.
My goodness.
He's with you your whole life, and he's still with you. There was also more to that being that who's with me. It was something about him translating sacred geometry into creative ideas that come into me. And my whole life, when I would have creative ideas, I always felt in my work, they were not coming from inside me this way. They were coming in. And so that just validated that, right? And that was the second sign, was the book on the shelf. And so
that
I
you already had purchased and put on the shelf years before, or time before, sitting there
right,
buried
right.
treasure. Yeah, yeah. I love
right.
it.
So I knew, you know, I just knew it. I was like, okay, I need to pay attention to this. And I did. And I was so happy I did, because when it was How to Read Your Akashic Records by Linda Howe, who I wound up studying with. She has the Center for Akashic Studies out of Chicago. And I did a series of classes. And it was so, I came home. It felt like I was home. And I knew it. I was hearing blocks of thought that were not my own, that were amazing ideas and information about not just the issues we deal with as humans, but about the planet itself and humanity itself. You know, and of course, it also involves the past lives, because we can access our past lives, as you know. And so it is just this world opened up. And what's interesting, and I think this is a good thing for everyone to hear, is that many of us have grown up thinking no pain, no gain. Like if something's easy, then it can't be real, or it can't be, you can't do your career, have a career at it. And that's farthest from true. It was so easy for me to access the records that I questioned it. I had doubt, like, is this real? And so that was my beginnings with working in the records. I started doing this in 2008. And the more and more that I opened the records mostly of myself, and worked on my own past wounds and my own past lives, because as a practitioner, we don't want to come to the table and be working with someone if we've got some, you know, creepy crawler things from our past. We have to really be clear and stay grounded. So I took that very seriously. So that's, you know, and now what's happened is my entertainment aspect of my life has come back into and blended in with the records, in the way that the records inform how I write. I'm now writing, and I'm writing screenplays and series. I have a teen series that is out there now being pitched. And that opened up. And the reason it opened up for me is because that is part of my soul journey. My soul choice was to use the power of storytelling, I'll say, in the way that I'm doing it now. I just hadn't come to it. Once I started opening my records reflected back to me what I'm here for. It's a remembering. And when we're in our records and we access that information, we just get ahas over and over again. It's just resonation. It's like, yes, right? And so that's how I became a writer, and I'm still a director. So my work has blossomed, I'll say, from the inside out, from my work in the records. It's a pretty amazing tool.
Well, having some experience in the same areas, I'm listening to you, as I have many people who have come to their destiny, if I can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
It was it. First, they develop one career in the world intellectually, and your career is remarkable. You have several awards, and people can go to your website, and I'll get you to mention that in a minute, and they can find out just how successful you were in your life. And at those times, the competition was fierce. I'm sure you were young and creative and all those things that gave you that drive, but you had to have the smarts, the talent, the ability, and creativity. And then that part in everybody's life, they get, it's kind of like as you said, there was a change coming up and you said, what am I going to do now? And then you have one experience that changes your whole life. And while you're going through that experience, you don't know it until you look back. And that person saying, there's a dude over your shoulder, and he's saying some word, term, something that you've never heard of before. And even this intuitive lady said she didn't quite know what that was herself. She ought to have known, in my opinion, but that's not the point she's in the field. However, she says, this is whispering in your ear, you know, talking to you, thoughts telepathically coming in, all those creative urgings I'm sure you had when you were in your high profile and pressure cooker type job, mm-hmm. that now you're getting answers to where they came from. And then this whole idea, this is the second part, is that you develop this other career, other interest, and then you blend the two.
Yes.
That, when I've seen this over and over and over again in people's careers, including my own, mm-hmm. developing one in printing and pressing and newspapers, and then writing books myself and what I do now as a counselor. But it was something happened. My life changed, your life changed, and it's going on, and we're kind of like, if you might agree, going through the motions, like we're in la-la land until we get from into the transition point from here to there. Yeah. But then you took it one step further, and you became and please explain this to my friends all over the world who are listening to us, because this is an international program. You came to be an Akashic Records practitioner, helping people. And I think I'll add to what you said is that I found that when I realized there were these heavens or these dimensions above, I said, there really is a God out there. I mean, I got it. And then from that moment on, there was no question. There was no, there were some wonderings about my passing, but there was no doubt that my soul was going to live forever. And all those little blanks were filled in for me. Now, this is all about you, not me, but I think we've shared some of those steps. And when you have people come to you as a practitioner, just give us a little tidbit about what would happen when somebody would come to you, and how would you help them, assist them to go back in the Akashic records as a practitioner?
Well, the first thing I want to say is the records are available to anyone. They've been around since the beginning of time. And so anyone can access their records. It's funny to me, like giggly funny, that, you know, we get accreditations in the spiritual community. You know, I always find it just makes me giggle. Because what does that really mean? Well, what it really means for me is that I spent time with someone who teaches about the records, lots of time, and I spent lots of time opening my own records within that sort of, they weren't classes, they're sort of like workshops over and over and over again. And so I was basically learning how to use the Akashic Records in my own personal life as a tool for life. And, you know, it helps to have somebody that has done it already for many, many, many years. And anyway, so that's, you know, accreditation, what does that really mean? It just means I did it over and over and over and over again under someone who's done it more times than I have. As a mentor. And so I just wanted to make that clear. So anyone, just like I did, they don't have to get hit in the head with a book. They can just go get a book on the Akashic Records and tap in. What I do with clients is people come to their own records. That is 100% what happens for me. I don't market it. I don't advertise it because it feels funky to me, like I'm going to market the divine. No. The divine is all of us. We're all the same, and we all are reflections of divine source. So what it's fascinating to me who winds up coming to me for records readings, and what usually happens is, I use a sacred prayer with the permission of the client to open up their records, and they're usually coming for clarity. They're stuck. They want, it's really, they 100% of the time, they don't even realize that they're simply coming to remember who they are and why they're here. That's really
wow.
it.
Wow.
And the beauty in my book of the records is that when we're in our Akashic Records, it is a direct reflection, mirror image of each individual soul's journey through lifetime, lifetime after lifetime. And so when we open the records, there are these quantum imprints that are already there from right now. You and I speaking here is creating a quantum imprint in your records and my records right now. I mean, that's in the now and the now and the now. It's really cool. And so at a later time, we can access that. You know, we can actually, each one of us can open our own records and draw from that. The value of having a mirror image of who we really are and the power of it is that we tend as human beings, as humanity, to forget who we are. We have a lot of challenges on this planet. It's dense. There's just shadow stuff, some kinds of stuff going on. And right. We can get pulled in directions. It's all normal. Nothing wrong with that. It's just sort of part of the dance, I think, of this planet. And so what's great about the records is if I open somebody's records, they might come to the records saying, I'm about to create a new brand, or I'm going to move to Timbuktu, and I don't know if this is right. Well, the records are not a divining tool. They're not going to swoop in and go like, no, don't do that, because then I wouldn't be in the records. But what the records will do is, through dialoguing with the client, the divine moves on the spoken word. So I hear the most when my client is speaking, and they could be speaking about anything, it doesn't matter. They could be complaining about something, it doesn't matter. And so they're going, and I'm hearing blocks of thought. And what I'll do is, quite often, I'll just be writing down phrases, words, and then I'll get a gentle nudge to go back to those when the person has finished speaking. And then it just opens up this portal of a deep remembering of that person about who they are. And out of that remembering comes, unstuckness, new choices that feel better. It's just feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good, feel good. Most people don't even want to end the readings. And I have to have an awareness of managing time in the records, because it can be tiring. And I'm sure you've gone through this. It can be tiring after a while, because it's another dimension of consciousness. And it's very subtle. It's not like I'm taken over by something and I'm not here. I'm just flowing this information and I'm still present. And I like to say that the records themselves, the divine realm, uses my way of speaking, my heart, my soul, as my soul committing to this, and even my sense of humor at times. It uses all of that, as it probably does through psychics. One psychic is going to handle things differently than another one, or they'll sound differently. So that's what happens. And as the flow begins to happen with a client, more and more comes out of them. And it's almost like this rebirthing of who they are. And it's always joyful. It's lovely. It's beautiful. I can feel them expand. And at the same time, I'm expanding, because I'm flowing divine source. Who gets to do this?
Apparently special people with special talents. And you were drawn to this, as you just said a little while ago. I found, and I think I sort of heard the hints in what you're saying, is that people come to you with some reason, purpose, that isn't probably where they end up, but they come there because they're looking, and they know you have the doorway that they can walk through. You have the window they can look through.
Yes.
So
yes.
As a conduit between the heaven and the earth kind of thing, you have a special platform, a special place, but you're already prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
As you just said, you get tired. You're expending enormous energy in some sort of mental, spiritual conduit that it doesn't. You're not like working on a chain gang, breaking, you know, sledgehammer and work, but you're exerting that much energy to get this connection. And I'm sure when people do that, when they find out about themselves, the one thing I can add to what you said is that the reason they continue asking is because all of a sudden they've hit that sweet spot of truth.
Yes.
They know beyond knowing that what you're talking about, as you're opening up their records and they're reading their Akashic records, they're on the tree of life and their whatever other terms you want to put on it. And so
it is a deep knowing. Yes. It's recognizable. It's palpable, actually. The other thing that I want to mention is that when I say the sacred prayer that I say, to open this channel, we'll say, in an individual's records to their records. I'm accessing what I've learned, and I sense, I can feel them, is an entourage of beings. They're actually light energies, they're not beings. And the light energies oversee everybody's records, and they're known as masters, teachers, and loved ones. And so it's nice to know that, like, our records are not something floating around out there and dark energies can get in and put a bad imprint on them. Not possible. It just cannot happen because it's such a sacred realm. It's a sacred space. And so I'm calling forth those masters, teachers, and loved ones using the person's name, their legal name, because that's how they're known in the ethers, let's say, I guess,
sure.
And on our world. And so by calling their name out in prayer and summoning basically these light energies, they're there. And part of that entourage, the loved ones, can be or are those that the person whose records we're in, those loved ones of that person who are on the other side now who have passed over, any and it can be anything where love was exchanged, right? Any love person, friends, family, doesn't need to be just family or close relationships, they're on the other side and they're holding the integrity of that person's Akash. And it's really beautiful because often I will feel an energy, a feminine or masculine energy, and it'll come across for me as a very outspoken energy or someone, and or it might be they're saying, I'll hear there's a feminine energy saying, get on with it. Let's get going. I'm here to help you. And that person, I mean, like all the time, they'll say, oh my God, that's my grandmother. That's how she would speak or whatever. So that happens. It's not like a psychic reading where it's a one-on-one dialogue with that individual on the other side or the entity. It's more they're holding that purpose of the integrity of that person's records. They're standing and holding that sacred space along with the masters, teachers, and the masters and the teachers. So it's this entourage, and I can feel like that there's something around me. It's not ghosts or being, I don't feel beings. It's energy. I can feel an energy holding the purpose of the reading.
Well, I believe, in investigating a lot of spiritual things, there's a great prayer about ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
And everybody goes, oh, that's great. And I said, just a minute. There are two other conditions.
Right.
Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you, which means you have to go out and find out all the information and you have to knock on every door you can possibly find to make what you're asking come true. We're talking to Mary Medeiros. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth, are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, interviewing Dr. Mary Medeiros, a 30-year veteran in network television at ABC, NBC, and CBS, winning 3 Emmy Awards, now authoring a new book titled Spirit Therapy, an Akashic Records reader providing clients with tools for life and a sacred space for clarity from the divine realm. Stay with us for hour number 2 with guest Heather Lee Strom, discussing the healing power of dogs. Heather now has over 30 years in helping to heal the human body through our canine friends. A fascinating discussion. We're not taking phone calls tonight, so enjoy these 2 hours of this special two-part series of interviews. Now, once again, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
We're just talking before the break about you having this group of comforting beings or light beings, I guess, as you light energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel them and you can hear words given to them that are directly related to the person whom you're helping. That's amazing. Just as you casually said that, I want the viewers and listeners to realize that is an amazing talent and ability. And as you mentioned, that there can't be an adulteration, there's no passwords or security problems on the other side, because truth is truth. And there's no room. You know, light is light. There's no, when light's around, where is darkness? Gone, right? So right. There can't be any interference. So as you were sitting there and learning about these higher dimensions, and I'm sure every time you had a client, it was a new experience for yourself, and you learned something a little more about this vast place that we call the Akashic Fields or records out there. Tell us how you made a transition from counselor to author.
Great question. What happened for me was I would be opening my own records, sitting at my computer, and I would just type my concerns, questions. And not only were answers or clarifications and affirmations coming through about my specific questions, such as, I can give an example. I was manifesting petty tyrant, I'll call them that, bosses in men and women for a large part of my career in television. And television is already difficult, especially live news. And I had petty tyrants. So that was one question. I was like, why? What is this about, right? When I would receive and I'd hear and then type out blocks of thought, as I do, the same thing as with clients, and then they would impart more. It would turn into, and in humanity, there is this blah, 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 blah. And on the planet, blah, 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 blah. And quantum conversations that were further than, it's almost like my question about myself triggers this other information that was flowing through. I imagine that Neil Donald Walsh, I imagine that probably happened for him, because he would ask questions. And then God, source, would just flow through. And so that started to happen. And then there was one of my readings. My records imparted that they said, Mary, your records show you writing. And at that point, I wasn't writing. And so I was opposing my own records. I wrote back, no, I'm not. I'm a director. Okay.
That little ego mind gets in the way.
Yeah, really. Like, no, I'm not. I'm telling my own Akashic realm that it's the reflection of me. But anyway, that's the human part of me that I think makes people feel so comfortable when they work with me, because I'm a very rooted in earth person at the same time that I'm doing all this other stuff. So I kept going, no. And then what they said was, this was a specific reading that I remembered and I have it written. And and what I heard was, no, you're a writer, Mary. And they imparted to me 3 books that I would be writing on the Akashic records. And so I just, let that go. And I didn't resist it. And I remembered walking around in my life kind of going, well, I'm not a writer. And so it's a word that I was going to say in response to what you just said earlier, right before you asked this question, is that, that asking and receiving, it's important to surrender. This is the thing that I think trips so many people up. Surrendering doesn't mean letting go of the dream or letting go of the thing that you want or whatever. It just means that, we're asking out there, whether it's archangels, God, source, whoever it is, or our loved ones on the other side, we ask, but then we've got to surrender for it to happen. In other words, we can't keep holding on to all the reasons and ways it's going to happen. So I hadn't surrendered yet. And I remember just this sense that I had at some point, not too long after that reading. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to let go and not think about it, whatever. And I was offered an opportunity and paid to write a screenplay. So it just came and landed. And It's when we surrender. And then I opened my records and about this, and my records said, we're with you. So you can call out. You can open your records while you're writing. I thought, oh, my gosh, that's great. And I did. I also heard, you already know this. And then I remembered that when I was directing, I had taken, I think, four times on in New York and Los Angeles, weekend workshops with the number one guru screenwriting guy, Robert McKee. And I forgot I had done that because I thought I was doing that to become a better director. And so when the record said, you already know this, because I thought, oh, format and this and that, and act one, two, three, what do I do? And then I remembered and I went into my books and I had Robert McKee's books on story and everything. And I was like, I already knew it. And so it flowed. And so there's an example of, man, I'm getting chills as I speak this. When we access our records that show us, they're just reminding us of the choices that we already made to come and incarnate at this time, okay, using past lives as well. But if we just, if we just listen, we're listening to ourselves. So it's not some, you know, genie in a bottle popping out. It's not some big thing out there that's saying you must this and that. That's the old paradigm of religions and things like that. It's not really what life is about. Life is about we have aspects of ourselves that are in each other and in the planet and out there in multi-dimensions. And we can just pull in reflections of ourselves in so many ways. And the Akashic Records is a really cool way to do it because it really is that imprint of our soul, lifetime after lifetime. And another really trippy, fun thing, I'm saying trippy because it's just so fun, is that we know that since science and spirituality have come together, they're shaking hands now. So we know Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this, but we know that the energy never dies. We know that it's physics now. We know quantum physics is huge. And so energy doesn't die. We also know that DNA is energy. Mm-hmm. So what the records bring in very often with clients of mine is if we look at a past life, they don't care about time because there is no time. So I don't get 1800s and long dresses. I don't get that. I get the essence of that soul in a particular time that's not now, we'll say. We have to use our human words to try and impart thoughts. But anyway, what we can do is the DNA of every lifetime that we've lived is still with us, the energy of the DNA. So we have the opportunity, a lot of people, they have question marks about this. They're like, really? For example, if somebody had a past life and there was no cancer, some past life there was no disease, let's just say. In this lifetime, if they get a diagnosis of cancer, their DNA holds the energy of no cancer. It didn't die. It's still there. And so there's an opportunity for us to just intend forward that energy of no cancer, and there will be no cancer.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of jewels that are coming in from the Akashic realm that are beyond the day-to-day questions of, what do I do? Do I get married? Do I do this or that? It's just this broader, huge amount of information that's flowing in. And that is why I've said yes to writing the book. And so that's how I got into that. And the second book is to open the records of sacred sites around the world, because I can open the records of spaces, addresses, homes, couples. I've done work with couples, sacred sites, obviously. I opened the records of the sun one day, and that's in my book.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the sun spoke through its own Akash, its own imprint. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more fun. And we can do pets too.
Oh, that's touching a lot of people's hearts right now. You know, what you're saying is, and I would reminisce myself a little bit and say, people, if they look within, they can see the easy way. Well, we're all outside trying to do the hard way.
Yes.
And as you were talking about, you had taken workshops on being a playwright and you had forgotten about it. That was kind of the blueprint of your life, you know, going through being prepared. The same as the book was on the shelf above your head or whatever, it was always there. And so this is the one thing I find in my own life. I've been an impatient man all my life. And I asked my friend, my mentor, Ross Peterson, who was called the new Edgar Casey. And there was a book by Alan Spraggett written about him years ago in 1973 or 4. And I asked him one day, so what's my life lesson? And he said, in his way, you will learn. No, I said, what's my lesson? He said, patience. And I said, oh, patience. Oh, wow. You know, that's not a hard one. And then I said, I was 24 years old. How long will it take? I'm supposed to learn patience. How long will it take? He said, look, you are going to learn patience. And now at my age, I understand. I don't get something done today. I'll get a little bit tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But the easy way is there. And by asking in prayer, which I was really impressed to hear you say, I concur because I do it myself, you have to pray first. You have to ask. That's the only condition of getting to wherever you want to go. Because when you pray, your free will and free choice, if you agree, you're allowed to open that door and pursue that memory. And, you know, yeah. I'm going to ask you, people are afraid, maybe looking back and say, did I do something bad in another lifetime? Was I like a meanie? Did I chop heads off? Was I a brute? All people have those fears and all people have those experiences. But when people come to you with some trepidation and you say, look, just follow the easy way, that person, that being, that experience in the past, if you elaborate on this, makes you the better person today, because now you're not that meanie. But in the field, if you're something on this side, then you're going to be the opposite on the other side in a different time. What do you think?
I think that happens. I think that's true. I also have experienced other truths by looking at these ideas through the lens of the Akashic realm. When we look at past lives, again, this is my experience with the records, but it continually happens in this way. I'm shown past lives, and it may be everyone thinks they were Cleopatra and all of that. Maybe they were. Maybe we all were.
I've never met Cleopatra. I've always met the person who used to work for her, shining the furniture or something. That's the person I see.
Shining the furniture. So those kinds of things do come up with past lives. What is great is when we look through the lens at those past lives, and let's say we were a murderer. I mean, I haven't had that yet. There is something else that happens. It's not that in this lifetime, again, this is the records, this is my understanding. It's not necessarily that we come in another time to make it okay, or we always come with the opposite, you know, to make up for it. The records have even said there's no such thing as karma. There's only choice, over and over again. And so looking at those past lives through this lens presents those time periods, those past lives, as an opportunity. They become assets. They become an asset, actually. So, for example, if somebody was a murderer, or maybe they, I don't want to use that, whatever. But if they were doing something they weren't happy about now, we look through the lens of the records at that lifetime, and we sort of like kind of chew on it. Abraham Hicks uses that word. We chew on it. We look at it as that lifetime, what was going on in that lifetime, not to justify it, but to understand the energy. We can actually mine the energy of that particular lifetime. That's not the same as if you did something awful, then you're going to bring it forward and it's okay to do it again. No, the records, of course, do not condone that. That's not divine. However, there's an energy to even what we perceive as bad things, and we perceive them as bad. We say that's right and that's wrong, and the records say there is no right and wrong. There's just choice. There's no judgment. And so what we want to do is lift, if a lifetime like that does come up in a reading, and that person, as you said, is uncomfortable about it, the discomfort transmutes into light. And there are things I have to say that happen that I can't tell you why they happen. It's the power of divine, where something transmutes and it just becomes something else. And I watch it happen and experience it. And when I close that person's records, I'm like, I don't know, except I know more than ever that there is divine source, and it is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. The idea is that you learn from that experience, and you're here to experience all experiences.
Yes.
Good, bad, and better. I'm not going to say ugly.
No, not ugly. In the new you way.
Yes.
Why you're here at this time. So they become, I'm always shown like a toolkit. those past lives that may not, that we thought were awful and we don't want to think about them. We think we have to get rid of them. The records go, no, no, no. That's part of your soul. And it becomes this, it turns into an asset. It can involve discernment. You know, if somebody did bad things, then they're going to discern. Maybe they have a heightened discernment about protecting others. They can see before others are hurt, and yep, that they wouldn't have that asset if they hadn't experienced, you know, and had that lifetime of whatever happened to them or whatever they did. So it's really just freeing. It's so freeing.
That's a really good explanation. And, you know, people, as they look at their life and they come to see you and they read your books, you've got a book out there or two. What?
My first book is not complete yet. And the second one about the sacred sites, I may have my first sacred site picked, and it may be Atlantis in the Azores. And so
you're going to go there? You're going to do some?
It's interesting. My father's family was from the Azores.
Wow.
And I've met a few people who are doing some work there, and I kind of heard the energy of your lineage is there, and speak to Atlantis. I heard get on a boat and stay overnight on a boat around those islands and just continually open the records, and the Atlantis will speak. So, I mean, that's what I heard. So,
right.
That's planning. I have to work on that. And the first book, which is really like the beautiful things for humanity about all the things we struggle with. What's so interesting is when I reread anything that came through, it is as if it's right now. It's timeless. I just heard a reading that I did, and it was something I was working through myself, and I was speaking it out loud, and I just happened to find it on my computer yesterday, and it was as if I was hearing from the records right that second, right now, and it was so appropriate in the moment. The records change, and so we know that divine moves on the spoken word, and we also know that when we hold sacred tomes or when we open them up, something happens. It's undeniable. What is that? It's the energy, that quantum divine energy. It's still vibrating. It's still there. And so my book is continually expanding, I'll say. And so I think my challenge will be when it's over.
It's going to, like the book above your head that showed you the way, it's going to be right in front of you.
I'm really nearly finished. I have all the chapters. I just have to go back through it, open my records, and just see what happens. I'll just say that.
Oh, amazing. And again, you've had an amazing career. You worked at the highest level of television, and I'm going to say film and movies and theater and all kinds of things. I'm not sure exactly where your career has been, but you've been around those people. And before I ask you about how people can get in contact with you on your website and things, you mentioned about the mini tyrants on the workplace. And somebody I interviewed a while ago had done a whole study on such things and narcissists and the different types of people in the workplace. So you were in a pressure cooker. It was at the highest level of the business, big money, big names, big people, big pressure. How did you handle that?
Well, quite differently than I would now. And I bet we all could say that.
Yeah.
It confused me because I love people. And I think I had a harder time with the petty tyrant bosses who were really mean to those around me. Because as a director, especially when I was working at CBS News, you know, there's 150 monitors sitting in front of the director. And that every one of those monitors is being used for a two-hour live broadcast. And then there's just screaming people behind you. It's, if anyone just stepped into that, they would just go, that can't be. And so the way that I always worked was as a director that we were all the same. And that kind of annoyed those tyrants that were the Hitlers behind me. And so they didn't like that. Even on the soap operas, I honored actors. I honored the crew. You know, everybody, we were equal. I came onto a set and it was we, not I'm this, that, that. To add to this mix is that I was very often, I mean, I was the second woman ever to direct at CBS News.
That's where I was going with this, yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's an Apple TV show that's in its third season now, The Morning Show. That's one of the programs I worked on. And whoever is writing that for that series, they got it. Now they're talking about they're talking about all the games that go on behind the scenes. And I was immersed in that, and that show has it right. It is everyone should watch that show. The morning, I think it's called The Morning Show. And I think Jennifer Aniston won a Golden Globe for her performance in that, and Reese Witherspoon too. But anyway, how did I deal with it? Well, I came from a family, a resilient family. And I also want to say that my manifesting petty tyrants, I learned by working in my records, it was a subconscious pattern that I had. I really believe in, I value subconscious patterns that Bruce Lipton addresses a lot, talks a lot about that. And the subconscious, we know, forms itself from zero, third trimester to 7 years old-ish. And all it is a recording device. It records our environment, our attitudes, how people treat us, what we're hearing, everything. And so then it runs 96% of our lives, our behavior from the background. And so when I discovered that, it freed me up because I thought, oh, no wonder. Well, I had a brother who was a petty tyrant. He was a bully. I have three older brothers. Two of them were fine as brothers. I'll say normal, I guess. One really tortured me. And I had a bully father. I had an Archie Bunker father. And so who hated everyone and he hated cultures. And I didn't understand it. I don't have that in me. So I would argue with him a lot, you know. And so I came out of that. So those were the things I was hearing, probably even in my mother's womb. You're supposed to hate. You're supposed to this. You're not worth anything. My family thought I was pie in the sky, airy fairy. I was the one. And when I would say, I think everyone's really good, and they'd go, you'll learn. You don't know. So I had all of that around me. It's not surprising that I would have manifested over and over, you know, my brother, basically, you know, someone that was always, you know, at me about something or at the work that I was doing. I always had something. Now, it goes with the territory because you have to have resilience. And I learned resilience. So the gift of my family was the resilience that I came away with. Irish Catholic on one side and then the Portuguese on the other. You know, it was you buck up, you get through it. You know, when we got hurt, my mother would say, just don't think about it. Well, now, actually, I think that's very wise.
Yeah.
Don't focus on the negative, right? So it was my resilience that got me through. And also I majored in music in college. And so I had a knack for having a peripheral vision of things. So I could look at 100, I could look at 1,000 monitors and it wouldn't make me nervous because I'd know and prioritize, I'd be able to do that. So it's not surprising that I chose that arena to play in the beginning of my life, my career, because I was used to the energies of it. So it wasn't until, also when I discovered Abraham Hicks, I remembered Abraham Hicks saying in one of the workshops, one of their things, the universe only knows yes. It doesn't know no. So if you keep screaming no at something, it's going to give you more of it because it's seeing the energy going towards that thing and it's just going to give you more of it. And that really freed me up with the petty tyrant period. I mean, really, I had a slew of them. Wow. When I look back, you couldn't pay me to go back there. When I realized that, I realized I was going home every night upset, mad at that person.
Oh, yeah.
Or they would be rude to the crew and make people who had worked there for 30 years feel bad. And that really bothered me because I believed in everybody who was putting their best into the broadcast. And I fought for everyone. And that was me. I always did that. That was the rebel that came from my family and my lineage. So I had all these components that were good. But then I was screaming no at the petty tyrants. I just kept getting more and more to the point where one of my bosses, I was sure, was not going to renew my contract as a director. I was on a soap opera then. And I went to my agent he had the same agent. And I said to my agent, Jim, I know he's going to fire me. He hates me. And he goes, what are you kidding? He loves your work. I got more of it. I actually wanted him to let me go. And I find out that he loved my work. Yeah. So it was Abraham Hicks in action, or the law of attraction in action, I should say.
Well, I could see that, you know, the universe was preparing you with a family that was diverse,
yes.
Situations you were in, and then the workplace, and here you are. But, you know, you had to do that. That was your choice, your plan, your
That's
blueprint,
right.
Whatever you say.
It was the blueprint.
We had a guest here a little while ago, Judy Wilkins Smith, who is talking about this kind of energy. And she said, a person like you who comes into a family who has these experiences, because you're the black sheep of the family, you were parachuted into this family, in my intuition, you were there and you didn't fit in. So her wisdom is that when a person like yourself comes into a family, the influences karmically, spiritually, the lessons go forward to your children, grandchildren, whatever in life, but also it goes backwards.
Yes.
It goes back to your parents, your grandparents, and you influence your so-and-so brothers who gave you such a hard time, or that one anyway. You've taught them, whether you know it or not, you've changed their spirit, if you will.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I learned that. Don't remember where that came in, and maybe it was Judy. But I remembered reading about that somewhere, hearing someone speak of that, that you do change it, and you actually do change the past. So if there were, you know, horrible people in your lineage, and you come in, let's say it's racism, and you come in, like for me, I don't even understand that. I never understood it. And one of my brothers married a black woman, and that went over like really badly in my family. It was bad. And so with my father mm-hmm. and my mother to some degree. Well, I came along and nothing was going to move me in that direction. Nothing. I would stand firm in it. I would argue with them. I would say, I don't understand it. Why do you hate so much? Whatever. So just my doing that, you're right. Just by my living that and standing up for people's rights. We all have life rights, is somehow transmuting that ugliness, if I can call it that,
well,
of the past.
When light comes into a dark room, if you walk into a dark room, it's full of darkness. You turn on the light switch. Where did the darkness go?
Never was there.
So you've been a light in your family. So let's, just before we'll take one more quick break. And how can people find you and find out more about coming to see you or your future career and your books? How can they get a hold of you?
My website is, you want me to tell you that now or after the break?
Yes, we'll do it again after the break too, but right now before we go.
Okay. So my website is called spirittherapybymary.com. A title that came through my record reading, I didn't know what to call what I do. So it's spirittherapybymary.com. And my email is, which you can reach me at, write to me. I answer everybody, adivinerealm@gmail.com. adivinerealm@gmail.com.
Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom. Plus, a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, interviewing Dr. Mary Medeiros, a 30-year veteran in network television at ABC, NBC, and CBS, winning 3 Emmy Awards, now authoring a new book titled Spirit Therapy, the Akashic Records reader providing clients with tools for life, and a sacred space for clarity from the divine realm. Stay with us for hour number 2 with guest Heather Lee Strom, discussing the healing power of dogs. Heather now has over 30 years in helping to heal the human body through our canine friends. A fascinating discussion. We're not taking phone calls tonight, so enjoy these 2 hours of this special 2-part series of interviews. Now, once again, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, this has been an amazing interview, Mary. You are an exceptional woman. You are an exceptional person. You are a trailblazer. I have some dear friends who have been similar in their career. I have a friend in Spain who was the first woman air traffic controller in the Spanish military. And then when it transferred over control, she was the first woman air traffic controller in the civil aviation. And so similarly, the weight of being the first at anything, but especially in the world as it was, I got to compliment you for sticking it out. You didn't run away. You stayed the course. You're feisty enough and an advocate and a person who's tough and able to take all those times that you went home, I'm sure, with headaches and wondering and people having hurt your feelings, and you've done something wonderful on the screen, and then they criticize you the next minute. They take that away from you, and yet you persevered. That alone should be a reason for people to pay attention to what you have to say. But then the whole world opened up to you in this Akashic, which I'm sure, as I'm finding, it's expanding all the time. Every time I think I've got it, oh, here we go.
Yes, me too.
There's another floor upstairs, you know.
Yes.
Well, tell us where you're going and what can we expect from Mary in the future?
You know, it's interesting because I'm learning more and more to be in the now. You know, I know that the writing, there are many more stories that are in outline form that are coming through me. And I am lucky enough to understand entertainment. I understand behavior and I understand what audiences want. I grew up watching old movies when I was little because the chaos in my house was not something I wanted to drown it out. So I just stayed up like sometimes all night watching old movie after old movie. And I realize now what an asset that's been for me, because I really understand story. And I also understand and can predict movies that are going to be really good at the box office and are going to win the awards. I have a game I play with myself. And I'd say probably like 90% of the time I predicted it. And so for me, I know I want to keep writing, and I want to write stories that really, how you felt when you came out of E.T., the movie. I mean, people cried at E.T. because the separation and all of that, but it was about love. And the movies that stand through time and always will are going to be those kinds of movies, those beautiful movies about relationships and people and love. I never want to come out of the gate with a story going, I'm writing a story about love. The networks would just go, see you later. The studios. But if it's a sci-fi, which is what Steven Spielberg did, most people would say, oh, it's about an alien and this little boy. No, it's about a boy's first experience with love. And the love happens to be with an alien. How beautiful. So those are the stories that are in me that I know will be, some people ask, what's your legacy? I want my legacy to be that. You feel better about yourself when you have those kinds of experiences with story. Books too do that. Memorable books that just still stand the test of time. So there's that. And my records work, I just want more and more people to know about and experience the power of their own Akashic records. That is huge for me. And so I think what I'll be doing is I'm looking into and outlining ways to reach more groups of people, maybe in workshops where we actually work with the Akashic records more. And I'm just sort of waiting. I'm just allowing downloads for that. So that's what I'm hoping to do, to be able to speak about it more, show up more, and share about it, and share my experiences about it, write about it, and then maybe reach larger groups of people. It's really those two avenues for me, more and more of that.
Okay, well, I also predict in your future that you'll be writing a movie.
Oh, thank you.
It's going to be your life story.
Really? Okay.
Whoa. You don't, like all people who are pathfinders, way showers, lights coming into the world, what you have gone through in your life has been amazing. But because you've gone through it, it doesn't seem so amazing.
No, it doesn't.
But it is. You were in this environment, pressure cooker, movies, television, tyrants, big money. You persisted, you continued, you started off through your family again as a pathfinder and enduring with the arguments, and because you knew as a child what the truth was.
Yes, I did. I came
love,
in knowing that.
Yes, love was, this hate has to go away. And then here you are, you know, so I predict you're going to write a movie about your life and it will be a best.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
I can see you with the Oscar in your hand.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, we're at the end of the show. It's been wonderful. Again, my guest is Mary Medeiros, and her website is?
My website is spirittherapybymary.com.
Okay. And for that little tidbit I just gave you, I'd like to have an invitation to come sit right beside you at the theater, okay?
That's done. That's a deal. I would love that. I would love that.
Okay.
I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for who you are.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it's great to have wonderful guests like yourself to help lights illuminate the world and to come on our international program. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm your friend, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. You're listening to the Global Village International Programs. God bless, peace and prosperity to everyone.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness. You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
If you're seeing a world of chaos, danger, and unpredictable social and political events, then we have a book for you. In fact, it's a book every person on the planet could benefit from. From Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, The New Earth opens up a world of predicted climate, political, social, and economic events, some of which have already come true. The New Earth is an updated large paperback with 100 additional pages of information taken from the Akashic readings from Dr. Douglas. What was life like in Atlantis? Did Atlanteans have technology more advanced than what we have today? When will permanent coastal flooding in Florida take place? You mentioned that Canada will be divided into three regions. Could you please clarify this? Could you provide details about Spain becoming a center for world trade? You've predicted that there will be a move toward a single religion. What will this religion look like? These and many, many questions are answered in The New Earth by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, available now at the Douglas James Cottrell website, www.douglasjamescottrell.com. Welcome to our second hour of tonight's special two-part series of engaging interviews where Dr. Douglas James Cottrell speaks with Heather Lee Strom about her work using the healing power of dogs. Heather is a 30-year practitioner of healing through the help of our canine friends. Truly a unique experience for those who work with Heather. Now, here's our Global Village International radio host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell. I have an amazing woman with me today who has an extra special talent you're going to love finding out about what Heather Lee Strom does. She is a communicator extraordinaire. Her specialty is in dealing with our canine friends, and she has written a book called Canine Spirit Guide. I want you to come and enjoy this interview today, and hope you're as fascinated about what this woman does. This nice lady has an amazing talent, and we're going to find all about what she does right now. Welcome to the show, Heather. It's great to have you here. You've written a book called Canine Spirit Guide. That just, you know, my imagination starts to run wild. What is it you do? And tell us about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me, Douglas. I'm really excited to share about the Canine Spirit Guides. They're a whole new concept to humanity, and I only learned about them as they instructed me to write their first book. I had no psychic ability that I knew of before last year. I didn't write at all before last year, so I'm not a traditional author. And as they were instructing me on writing their book, they also led me through a journey of healing that I desperately needed. And these canine spirit guides are actually, they are not the spirit of our dogs. They are the galactic version, the intergalactic version of our dogs.
Really?
So yeah, so they're like the spirit guides of dogs. So like people have spirit guides, you know, but dogs carry these spirit guides with them as they interact in our lives and interact with us. And the spirit guides are here not for the dogs, but they're here for humanity. And they chose to identify with the dog, the canine, because of the heartfelt connection we have with this animal. We just open our hearts up to them and we embrace them, we accept them, we love them unconditionally. And this is a really big opportunity to interact with humanity with this open heart.
Would that be along the lines of therapy dogs? Everybody likes to have a little puppy, you know, and you can love that puppy and the puppy unconditionally loves you back. Matter of fact, that's one of the things about dogs. Dogs love you unconditionally. And no matter how you treat them back, they always stand there wagging their tail and, you know, they want to be your friend and they are most loyal as we know. Some of the cliches are, you know, playing out here. So this consciousness, these spirit guides, I mean, tell us more about that. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it is really fascinating. And it took me a long time to understand exactly what I was dealing with, because I just started writing the book, just stories about dogs that I've had in my life. I've been a dog trainer for 30 years, or actually all my life. So I've had a long history with dogs, and I've owned probably 30 dogs over 50 years. And they chose 10 of my dogs for me to write about. And as I shared stories about these dogs, they showed me where these canine guys were trying to communicate with me and trying to teach me and help me heal with certain situations that were happening in my life that the canine guides were drawing to me, to draw my attention to them, to provide me an opportunity to heal certain things. Of course, I was oblivious to it. I didn't see what they were trying to show me because I didn't know any of this was happening. So they just laid it all out for me in the book. And this is what I share in the book, is this process. And the guides have very specific messages based on what guide it is, what specific things they are here to help humanity heal, and the energy that they wish to share with humanity. And so ever since writing my book, my career path has changed. I've been a lifelong healer, but it's mostly for 30 years been about healing the physical body. Now all of a sudden, I'm doing energetic healings with these canine spirit guides based on what they focus on. So I might have a person in session with me, and the guides will tell me who needs to work with them based on what they need at that moment. And then we'll enter into a beautiful healing session with that canine spirit guide.
So, you know, laying on of hands, Reiki, energy work, people are familiar with those terms. But when the canines, if I can call them that, I hope they're not insulted if I say canine, but when the canines are communicating with you, is there kind of like an intuition that they're guiding you where to work on the person or what the problem is? How does that work exactly?
Well, I'm not doing anything in person. It's all virtual, like our call here today. So usually what I do is I just tune into that person's energy after I get their permission. And while I'm in that person's energy, I connect with the canine guides and I inquire who needs to work with this soul today. What does this soul need to know about their journey? Some questions that they need answered at this moment. And then the guides as a collective will tell me, answer those questions. So sometimes they'll give people insight into their purpose. Why are they here? What are they here to do? What do they need to know maybe about the people in their lives or about the journey that they've been on? Is there something they need to heal from this lifetime or maybe other lifetimes? Are they from another planet? You know, what do they need to know right now to help them on their journey? And then they will decide, they will tell me who's going to work with that person in this session. One of the guides will come forward, describe to me what needs to happen in the session. Then when I meet with the person virtually, I share what I've been told and I give them the option to accept the offer or to not, and they all accept it. And then we enter into a guided meditation type of session where the guide comes in, the energy comes in, I channel the energy in, and I just describe to the person as we sit in a nice meditative state exactly what's happening in their energy field, what the guide is doing, what they're removing from their energy field, what they're repairing. Sometimes they're offering upgrades. So they offer really powerful tools, which they have told me is an advancement in what we've ever known before. You know, humanity has grown a certain extent here recently. And so now we have access to new technology for healing energetically. And so they're bringing in new technology for us that works a lot faster than what we're used to it working. My healing process for many, many lifetimes was only 6 months long. And I healed from things that have devastated me my entire life, this life, and would have prevented me from ever stepping out into the public eye and delivering this message. So I had to heal all of that first before I could get to the point where I could offer my service.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah.
And since you were doing poorly and you had this experiences and you were aided and helped, I mean, my model is faith is built upon belief, belief built on evidence. And
yeah.
So you have evidence of this invisible connection, if I can call it that.
Yeah.
You mentioned some terms that, you know, some of our audience members might not be too familiar with. And so I would just like to sort of explore that a little further because it's extremely interesting and fascinating. When you were saying that you were given this information, I assume you, if I took it right, this was in advance of talking to the person virtually or contacting them?
Yes. Yeah, so I meet with their energy before I get on the call with them because I want to make sure I'm in a clean space, a pure space, and I'm not influenced by anything else the person might say or do. So I connect with them before I ever get on the call with them. It's usually right before the call so that things don't change before I actually get on the call with them. So that happens before the call and the rest of it happens in front of the other person that person.
That's kind of amazing. You know, like you never met somebody and you're about to talk to them and you have all this information coming to you.
Yeah. I'm blown away. Absolutely blown away. So, especially since I never could do it before.
That's usually, in my experience, that's usually the case. That's why my podcast is called Wake Up. Because as you wake up to these events, you've not done it before. You've been kind of spiritually asleep. And you wake up and you have this revelation of this source of information. So, you know, as these spiritual guides are beings, can I call them that? It seems like they call them more like that than canine.
Yeah.
Because So they do operate through real doggies, right? Mm-hmm. Canines. Yeah, mm-hmm. My dog's a Great Dane, by the way.
Oh.
And yeah, he's got me trained perfectly, you know. Feed him, walk him, whatever, you know, all that stuff. So, but let's look a little bit into the spiritual realm. It was fascinating when you said, you know, use the term they, and there's a group, and there's a consciousness out there. Can you elaborate a little more about what you think that is?
Yeah, it's a collective consciousness, and there's this energy system engulfs about 52 different varieties of what they have to share with humanity. My book is about the first four, which they call themselves the core four, their core values and core techniques and principles that humanity needs to be familiar with and aware of before we can move on to the next stage. The next mm-hmm. book will be the Elite Eight. They've already been feeding me the next few that are going to come in. But the core four work on foundation principles that we need to clear up and get comfortable with before we can escalate to the next level. But it is a collective, so I haven't met all of them yet. I've just met the first four. They're starting to introduce the next set to me bit by bit because I'm a little overwhelmed with trying to get the word out about this book and get everyone familiar with them first. And then once the word gets out, it's going to pick up pretty quickly. And I do private sessions with them as well as group sessions with them.
Okay, well, at this point, let's tell everybody where they can find this amazing book and how they can get to your website.
Yeah, Canine Spirit Guides by Heather Lee Strom is available anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also on Audible audio version. I recorded it myself, so the frequency is pure. And they can find me. You can find me at heatherleestrom.com, Heather, LEIGHSTROM.com. And all of my services and offers, I have some free downloads available from the guides on my webpage. So check that out.
And people can come and have a personal consultation with you, right?
Yes, they can schedule. And also I have my own podcast where we dig deeply into the messages, the channeled messages from the canine guides.
What is one of the most remarkable stories? You know, everybody has favorites. I have a couple, you know, that they just like they impress the heck out of you when it happens and you're participating in the event. What's one of the most, well, not one of the most, but one of the remarkable stories that you recall?
About my experience?
About your experiences, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe something that was said or somebody that you met. You know, one of those keepers, you know, you just remember and you go like, wow, that was amazing. Well, I'm sort of prying a little bit, but I think the audience would love to know. What,
so are you meaning, do you mean like with my client interaction or with the dogs that I've had come and encountered with?
I would love to hear about the dogs. I mean,
okay.
You know, all the dog lovers out there are just panting, pardon me, at the more of what's going on with the dogs. So,
right. Okay.
Let's talk about the dogs.
So the dog that's on, or the guide that's on the cover of the book, she's Oregon. She is the guides resonate with a dog breed, which kind of gives us the personality of the guide and the certain personality traits about us that we need to look at. And they also identify with a wild animal. So Oregon, and the wild animal gives us the energy they wish to share. So Oregon is the Basenji dog breed and the Black Panther spirit guide or spirit animal. And
wow.
She's incredibly powerful, and she helps us connect with our divine soul, which I had never met my soul before this whole process of healing when she actually introduced me to my soul. And I know that most people have never met their soul, because if they had, there would be no violence, no hatred, no anger, no insecurity, because when you're in that soul space, there is nothing but pure love and joy, and you just can't experience anything else. It's impossible. So that's what she does. She introduces us to our souls. And the dog that she came through that I wasn't aware of in my lifetime was a dog named Apache. And when she started out as a puppy, she's a pretty bold dog, She definitely stood out to everybody that met her. When she started out as a puppy, she was very insecure. She didn't like people. She didn't like to be touched. She didn't want strangers looking at her. And it was questionable whether she would be able to become a performance dog, which is what I did at the time, was I competed in dog sports with my dog. So I was very concerned about her future, even though I was very drawn to her and we had a very incredible bond. Well, as I worked with her, she began to evolve and to come out of her cocoon, and she became this magnificent butterfly that just bloomed out of her cocoon, incredibly confident, dominant. She competed with me in three different dog sports, knew three different languages, and dominated the field in every sport she did. And what she explained to me during the writing of this book was that she was showing me my path that I was going to experience as I finally came out of my cocoon while I was in undergoing this healing process that they took me through while I was writing the book. I finally came out of my cocoon and I could finally see my greatness just like she saw hers. It was beautiful. And there is a poem from her in that part of the book, because it was just beautiful.
Okay, well, next question the audience is thinking intuitively, telepathically, picking this up. How do they give you those messages?
So I first learned to hear them through meditation, which I also learned to do just to write the book.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So this is all new to me. So in meditation, I learned to set up a recorder. And as I got my ego out of the way and I learned to just trust with the information that was coming in, I would just dictate it into the recorder. And so as I was getting visual, because I was getting visual, I was hearing, I was feeling, I was getting all the clairs almost all at once. And I would just dictate into the recorder everything that was happening, everything I was seeing, feeling, all the energy that was moving, and what they were telling me. And so sometimes in my meditations, I'm just dictating word for word what to put in the book. They would write certain chapters for me just by dictation. I tried automatic writing, and that just didn't work for me. Just a bunch of scribble. It didn't work out. Uh-huh. So I switched to the recording method, and that worked really great. But now they just constantly download. I mean, they'll give me chapters when I'm on my bicycle. And I'm like, okay, not now. I don't have any way to record that. Just wait a minute, you know.
A lot of business people I know are inspired, usually in the little room in their house somewhere. That's where they get their inspirations, and they have the same, let me call it, methodology, where the thoughts come and they have a problem, whatever.
Yeah.
But also for those people wondering, you know, just thinking to you now, saying this may be a little strange or unusual. Mm-hmm. I believe the entire Harry Potter story was like that. The woman was on a train and Harry appeared to this, the author.
Yeah.
And out of that came this amazing story. So this pipeline of information that came to you is well established in different mediums already.
Yeah.
But I was listening to you and you said it was not just, you know, thoughts. You heard clairaudiently. You felt clairsentiently. You were probably seeing things clairvoyantly. And so those intuitive abilities all wrapped up in one. They're all the same, you know. It's gravity's everywhere, but it's different, if you know what I mean. And this is the same thing. So as people are listening to this, it seems that you connect very deeply. And as you said, you were a novice or a neophyte, and you didn't have a clue what meditation was, I'm sure. Same as me, by the way. When my mentor, Ross Peterson, said he doesn't know the difference between meditation or vegetation. Of course, there were several people in the room, but he was pointing that out. So I was kind of like, oh, no, you know, why me? But to go from an introverted person to an extroverted person is what you said, if I was your journey.
Yeah.
A lot of stars that I've met have had that same thing. They've been very introverted and private, but when they get on or they're out there, they're over I was going to say overwhelmed, but this energy comes through them. So I'm drawing parallels here to the people who are wondering, how can Heather do this? Well, it's already established in various different areas, as I'm trying to put forward here. But as you had all these different, again, being a neophyte and not knowing the terms or whatever, and you're having these things given to you, what a wonderful opportunity. No adulteration, no prejudice, no, I wonder what that's all about. Has anybody ever, I'm going to ask you this, you know, because I get it asked too. Has anybody ever said, Heather, that's the dark side. Watch out. Have they ever said stuff like that to you?
No one's ever said that to me. I know people think it, you know, because I can pick up on it. I know people think it. But, and I've had people ask me that in interviews, or they've asked me, so what do other people think about all this big transition you had? And my response is, you know, before I went through the healing, it would have bothered me. Before I changed, before I came out of the cocoon, before they healed me, it would have bothered me because my ego would have been wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
But now that I'm healed, I have no attachment to that. And I don't really care what people think. I'm speaking my truth. I'm speaking what they're telling me to speak. And if that doesn't resonate with people, then I'm not meant to speak to them.
Well, you know, there's people that believe and the people that don't believe. And the people that don't believe, well, they never will.
Right.
People who have a curiosity for this, and that's why by asking these questions, I'm attempting to provoke the audience into thinking, has this ever happened to me? And I'm going to ask you this question, but I already know the answer. Have people ever come to you and you said, you know, my dog told me they need to go to the vet, or my dog told me they need to have more vegetables, or my dog told me they need to go for a walk? Like a dog whisperer, have they ever inadvertently been communicating with their own pet and they need to talk to you to find that out?
No, because, you know, I don't really talk to the dogs themselves.
No, I meant the person coming up with the intuition and coming in.
Yes.
You get this information. Is that happening to me? You know, I mean, of course it is. But like I said, I knew the answer to the question, or at least I thought it. But I wanted to get your take on that.
What's interesting is I've had some people want to talk to me like in an interview setting, and really it wasn't the best interview opportunity, but what I picked up on was that they needed to work with the canine guides. That's why they were drawn to me.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, canines are used in the military. They're used in the police force. They're used as therapy dogs.
Yeah.
My dog, Max, is, well... I'm he's the master. I'm the guy that's trained, you know. So and I've always had Great Danes. I've had other dogs as well, but I just love them to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there used to be, there's either you're a dog person or a cat person, or you're a budgie person or something like that. But you know, I find that people who love dogs and are dog people, there's a certain trust. You know, there's a certain spirit around them already. So I'm wondering, do all canines, dogs in our house, do you think, but they have a little bit of this influence from above, and they're sharing their masters, and that dog is supposed to be with that person?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wondered that before all this happened. I was like, well, I wonder if, because all of the dogs I've ever had have called to me to come find them.
Yeah.
So I've had dogs who called to me from Germany, Belgium, and I had to go find them.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I've had, and this is before I even knew that I had, you know, psychic abilities. I was locating these dogs that were calling to me. I had no idea that's what was happening, but I write about it in the book because now I understand all of that. But yes, all the dogs that are in our lives, actually all the animals that are in our lives, are there for a reason. They are all part of our soul family. So they understand our soul path, and they understand why we're here, and they know it's been pre-organized that they're here to trigger certain activations in us as a bookmark. Okay, remember, this is when you wanted to do this at this point. They're here to trigger that, to get us to move, to activate us, to agitate us. All those dogs that rip up the house or constantly escape, They're here to agitate that energy, to get us to look at it, to remember, to make a change in our lives. Yes, they are all here for a reason. And they remember us. Some of our dogs look at us like, don't you know who I am? You know?
Okay, let's leave it right there. We'll be right back after a quick break.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments. Here's a little book packed with over 350 simple inspirational messages that you can use on a daily basis. It's called Gems of Wisdom. If you follow these simple steps to reach the divine within, you'll change not only yourself, but the world. A must read for the spiritual-minded person. Available now at douglasjamescottrell.com. Gems of Wisdom. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Welcome back to our Global Village International Radio Show, second hour, as Dr. Douglas James Cottrell interviews Heather Lee Strom about her work using the healing power of dogs. Heather's a 30-year practitioner of healing through the help of our canine friends. And here once again to continue our conversation is Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, you know, Heather, just before the break, you were saying dogs come to teach us things and whatever. My dog decided to redecorate my house, especially around the woodwork on the door. You know, he didn't like the nice, you know, square. He liked to make them a little chewy up, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, when he was a puppy, he was doing the things on the floor, and it took a long time. And it was frustrating on one hand, but we always would say, well, just a little bit longer, he'll get out of this. And he did, of course. Mm-hmm. So when the animals come to you, I believe there's a spiritual connection. I've had the experience of dreaming about my future pets, sometimes months in advance. And then when they show up, it's like, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
And this Max the Wonder Dog, you know, I wonder why I got him. But anyway, I had a dream about him, and I've always had black Great Danes or brown Great Danes. And I had a dream where I was a black and white Great Dane, Dane called Harlequin. And he had this black patch like our gang Spanky from the 1930s.
Yeah.
And it took a year. I looked several places, you know, looking for him, just like you're saying, he was calling me.
Yeah.
I had decided at that time not to have another dog. I was traveling before my wife had passed on. And so it was like, I don't need another. Well, no, excuse me. That was before she passed on. It was like, I don't need another dog. Mm-hmm. So in any event, one day after looking everywhere around where I live, hundreds of miles away, I was intrigued to hear you went to different countries. But anyway.
Well, I didn't travel there.
Oh, okay. Well, you found them in these places. Okay, that's cool. Wow, that's. I ended up finding this dog at the northern part of my city, about 20 minutes away, after looking far and wide.
Yeah.
In a casual way. So there he was. Went in, and there he was, black and white, and in the litter he had his There were black dogs, there were brown dogs, and he was the only black and white one. And so we paid a fortune for him and brought him home, and I've been paying ever since. Not sure what the lesson is there, but the bottom line is, so he did call out to me, and other pets I've had, I've had a dream about them. Is that common, or is that, is that the collective sort of thing?
Yeah, they're letting you know they're coming, and the thing is, you may not remember the dream. You know, only a few of us will remember the dream. So unconsciously, you will recognize them on a soul level, even if you're not conscious of it. It'll trigger you.
Hmm, makes sense.
Yeah. So those of us who are really connected in with our dreams will remember it and be able to make sense of it. We'll be like, oh, I know what I need to do. I know what's happening. I know who's coming. And that works not just with dogs, but everything.
I was going to mention that I've had dreams of when I was in the country, I had horses. I have a dream of a horse coming and other animals when we were there, when the kids were little, you know, a calf was going to be born or something.
Yeah.
So there's this spiritual connection with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Animals have always been in our life, but
yes.
Dogs seem to have been, even when we were living in caves, there were always dogs.
Yes.
So you think dogs are, I mean, I love horses and other animals as well, but do you think the dog has this like special connection? I guess you would in your book about canine spirit guides. I mean, they would be there. I know they're guard dogs or watch dogs, you know, they're pets. Sometimes you've heard stories about somebody passes on and the dog sits on their grave for months, if not more than that.
Yeah.
So where I'm going with that is like somewhere in the Akashic and the Akashic field or the records, there's this place where these beings, these canine beings are. It's kind of like, are they the watchers? Are they kind of, you know, like a spiritual hierarchy that we say, oh, that's just a dog, but really it's a whole lot more?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. And that's really exciting. What I've been shown is that, number one, the reason I have this job is because I've had it always in other dimensions, other lifetimes. And
really?
I've always served as the guardian of these spiritual entities, these collectives that identify with animals. In other dimensions, animals are different than they are here. They're much more spiritually advanced beings than the humanoids are. And the humanoids tend to collaborate with them, sit in council with them in order to learn from them. And that's why animals here on this plane, animals are kind of taking a back seat. They're undercover. They've agreed to be here as a subservient partner as part of the game. And they're kind of just waiting for us to, you know, they have the grin on their face. They're kind of just waiting for us to figure it out, you know, and that's why they're so patient. And that's why they're so all knowing, because they know the truth. You know, when you evolve spiritually and you know the truth, it's so much easier to take the bad stuff, because you're just like, ah, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, that's kind of where they're sitting right now. And they're hoping that we wake up, that we see it. And this is part of the push for the canine guides to come through now. They've been with us always, but they're coming through now because of all the transition that's happening with humanity. We need their help to move a lot of energy, to heal a lot of pain, and to get us to that next level. And yes, they are much more advanced spiritually than any human I've met.
Right. Well, they certainly have a feel, a certain aura or a certain connection. You know, what's passed my mind is, you know, when I was younger, there was always these like you know, Rin Tin Tin kind of things, and you know, Sky King and Bullet the Wonder Dog, you know, with Roy Rogers, and it was, here, sniff this jacket, go find them, and the dog would take off. And I thought, what the heck? How can you possibly sniff somebody's shoe, jacket, whatever, and then they take off and find the person? I wonder if that's some sort of, you know, like they're just sensing the vibration of the person on the garment, and then they kind of, you know, tune in to where they're going. I don't think it's going to get, but they sniff a lot, so I don't know. But
they're playing a role with the sniffing. I mean, energetically, they know where the person is, but they're maintaining their cover by being a dog, right? Having to rely on the scent track to find that person. They're playing a role. But yes, you're right. Energetically, they know where that person is. They don't need to smell, right?
Yeah. Well, my friend George Carlin, the comedian, I was in his house one day and he was talking about, you know, the cat just got up and he wondered, what the hell? He got up, went in the other room and there's the cat, you know, on a chair. And he's like, so what was the urgency that you bolted over there? And it was like, I've seen that before myself. And I've seen the dog do it, you know, and up. And when I'm just reminiscing a little bit, but you know, when somebody comes, I have a man that takes Max for a walk, or I have somebody to help around the house before they get here. Even my son coming home in the car, like he's down the street a little bit. Max is at the window, or Max stands up.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if that perception, that awareness, it cannot be, you know, super hearing or super smelling or whatever. It has to be something that's intuitive like that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they pick up on the energy.
Yeah.
They feel the approaching energy, yeah.
I'm going to ask you this question. Maybe it's a little bit off, but in some of my researches, I found that they had dogs, they, meaning the medical researchers, had dogs sniff out diseases in people, cancer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Have you ever heard about that?
Oh, yeah. It's very common. Now they can even detect COVID. Yeah. So it has in the human version, it has a scent, right? But in the spiritual version, it's all energy.
There you go.
I mean, it's just energy. So they're picking up on the energy. Just like, you know, when I work with certain people, I'll pick up on the energy of Parkinson's. And I'll know this person has Parkinson's, even though they don't know, they don't have any symptoms. I can pick up on the energy of it.
That makes sense. So there goes the extreme of that, is if the doggy can say, this is the problem, maybe if we were to put a bunch of chemicals or jars or whatever and say, okay, which one's the right one?
Uh-huh.
What do you think of that?
Uh-huh. They can do it. They can do it. And that, they can be trained to identify anything.
I'm asking that with a smile on my face because that might be a wonderful idea, but you know, that place down there that's really hot would have to freeze over before they would get a chance to do that.
Yeah.
Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You're invited to embark on your own spiritual journey today by discovering the expansive works and services from Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Elevate your being physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit DouglasJamesCottrell.com. With over a dozen enlightening books and meditative audio downloads to help guide you through life's complexities. Delve deep into the mysteries of human consciousness, the future, and the spiritual realm. As the author of Secrets of Life, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Conversations with the Akashic Field, and more, Douglas opens the doors to realms most people only dream of visiting. The writings of Dr. Douglas James Cottrell are based on his unique ability to visit the Akashic Field, where all knowledge since the dawn of man is stored. You can read about the predictions, many of which have already come true, and planetary changes, health remedies, human growth are all written. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and view the selections of books and MP3 audio available now. That's DouglasJamesCottrell.com. Welcome back to our Global Village International Radio Show, second hour, as Dr. Douglas James Cottrell interviews Heather Lee Strom about her work using the healing power of dogs. Heather's a 30-year practitioner of healing through the help of our canine friends. And here once again to continue our conversation is Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, we're back again, and we're getting near the end of our interview time here. It's a lovely discussion we're having. I'm learning a lot from you, Heather. And it's how long have you been doing this, I guess?
I began writing the book in March of 2022. So the book was written by September of 2022, and it hit the market in May of 23.
Hold it up again. That's I'm a bit of an artist. My son is. That's an amazing cover.
Thank you.
I love the colors, and it's fascinating. You just like, you know, you're pulled into it.
Yeah.
Whoever did that or designed that, maybe you did. That's amazing. So.
Thank you. Yeah.
Where can people get a copy of that again?
That you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also get it on Audible, get the audio version. You can get it on ebook as well. And you can find all those links on my webpage, heatherleestrom.com, or you can go to k9spiritguides.com, k9spiritguides.com.
Okay, so I'm going to say, hey, everybody, if you're a dog lover, or if you want to know more about how dogs love us, go get Kathy Lee Strom's book, Canine Spirit Guide. It's an amazing book. And, you know, the interview today, I've learned a lot about how you got started and some of your experiences. But is there a profound connection with the great divine? I mean, here we are going through, you know, the possibility of the world entering into another world war. The tinderbox in the Middle East is well, you know, it's all not so good. So as we come to this time in our world, it would make sense that we would have some extra help. But if you had a profound experience yourself, a closer, you know, connection with God.
Oh, yes. I've resisted being part of any organized religion because I just felt like it didn't fit me. It didn't hold everything that I knew the divine to be. And my father was a preacher. So I grew up in the religious realm. But yes, so I never understood why I felt that way until this awakening experience. And through my awakening experience, I have a direct connection now and I can feel it constantly. And as I've healed myself and I've elevated my frequency, it's almost like I'm walking above all that and the lower vibrations now. So all the war, the anger, the hate, I can't even feel it anymore because I'm up here. I'm aware of it because I hear about it, but it doesn't hit a chord, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I'm thinking right now, soldiers coming home who have been maimed, dogs that have been, you know, hurt, and there's a movement on where the veteran and the abused dog get together and they're like therapy for each other.
Yeah.
Here's some big, strong soldier who's probably been in battle and had the worst of the worst. And now he's got this dog that he loves absolutely. And the dog loves him back. And it's such a bond that post-traumatic stress fades away and whatever happened to the dog. Well, dogs have this remarkable and resilient ability, in my opinion, to forgive or forget and just wag their tail, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing, you can't mix up, you know, you can't misunderstand a dog either if he's growling or he's wagging his tail. There's no fudging it, that kind of thing, you know. So
yeah.
When people come to you for consultations, let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
So what happens when they come to you? I mean, you started off by saying, you know, sort of pick up the energy ahead of time, but just describe it for our friends who might want to come see you.
Yeah. So I will connect with their energy first. When they make their appointment, I get their consent to get into their energetic field. And on the day of our appointment, usually I will spend some time in that energetic field. Some of the clients will feel it. They'll notice like a different feeling come over them. It's usually a calming sensation. And as I connect with their energy and the energy of the canine guide that wishes to work with them in their healing session, I kind of download what's going to happen in that healing session. They kind of tell me what's going to happen, what needs to happen, what they need to know. And then when I get on the call with a client, I walk them through an energetic cleansing and healing and shift. And these people, whether or not they have any history with meditation or energy, some people have never done anything like this before, and they don't have to have a dog. So they don't have to be dog lovers because these...
Really?
No.
That's amazing.
They're here to help humanity heal. So they don't care if you have a dog. I'd say 75% of my clients don't have dogs.
Wow.
So, So then when I get in the session with you, you'll feel the energy moving. You might even see what I'm describing to you. And some of my clients see it before I describe it because it takes me a minute to get it out in a word, right? And they'll feel the energy move and shift. And then afterwards, they're usually pretty tired and they need some time to integrate the energy shift. And what is so unique about this process is I actually record the healing portion separately on an audio file, and the guides will have the clients work with that recording because it contains the energetic frequency of the healing. So they'll tell me how to instruct the client to use that recording over the next few weeks to help continue to integrate the changes. Because what's so frustrating about healing is that there tends to be a rebound, right? We tend to forget, the more time that goes by after the healing, we tend to forget that new frequency and we want to go home to the old frequency. So the guides have them work with the session we just did per their instructions over the next few weeks to keep that level, the new energetic address, integrated into their memory. So that's really interesting. I've not seen that anywhere before.
No, I was just thinking that's an amazing support level because, you know, people go on diets and they quit. People decide they're not going to drink anymore, and then they do.
Yeah.
People, I'm not going to eat chocolate anymore. Well, then they do. So it's a sliding back, and to get out of a habit, you need that reinforcement. So that's amazing that you brought that up. And I also like the point that, you know, you can work with people who
don't have dogs.
Don't have dogs. It's amazing.
Yeah.
As we get towards the end of the interview, let me ask you, where do you see this going in the future? Where do you see your career going?
They've shown me that this is going big, that this is going to become a movement. And just about anybody who's gotten into my energetic field has also said this to me, and it kind of scares me a little bit. But this is going to move into workshops, weekend workshops, week-long retreats. Because the more guides that come through, the more energy is going to start to move. And I'm going to be helping humanity cleanse a lot of hidden pain, karma, ancestral patterning that needs to just be ripped out of the energetic field so that we can be cleaned and move forward in the energetic space that we were designed to experience Earth in.
Well, there you go. That's amazing. I wish you well on your journey. I've been talking to Heather Lee Strom, who has written the book, Canine Spirit Guide. And your website again is, and how can people have an email or anything to get a hold of you?
Yes, Heather Lee Strom at gmail.com is my email. And also my website is heatherleestrom.com. You can find book information at caninespiritguides.com. And I do private sessions as well as mentoring, immersion programs, and group sessions. So all of that information is on my website. I do have events constantly going on, and there's an events page on my website, so you can sign up for a group event if you want to do that.
Well, I'm glad you got all this extra energy, because all these things you're doing, you're going to need it. Listen, it's been a delight and a pleasure. We'll have you come back sometime and update us on what's going on.
Thank you.
I'm your host, everybody. I'm Douglas James Cottrell. Please go to my podcast, The Wake Up, as well as my website, www.douglasjamescottrell.com. And don't forget our weekly radio show, the Global Village International Radio Show. We'll be right here next time. The journey doesn't end here. As we close this interview, it's just beginning. Take care and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.